afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
I mentioned last week that I've been applying for unemployment and I have not seen a single paycheck because my unemployment, because I worked for an educational institution, has to be manually verified and I may not see money until October. Thus, I've been without money for the past 3 weeks, which is a detriment, especially when you live in such an expensive state in such an expensive area. But I don't bring that up to talk about unemployment. I bring that up to talk about jobs. You know, for me, it's very apparent to the people that know me, and even if you don't, that, like I said, I'm unemployed right now. I'm actually going back to work. I just just hit my head with the hat on the microphone. Just got a job, and so I'm going to be working, but it's not really what I want to be doing. It's one of those things where, you know, I'm working not because I like what the work is necessarily, as much as it is that I need money. It's not what my degrees are in whatsoever. And so jobs have been something that have very much been on my mind, especially lately, trying to decide if I'm going back to school or not. And really trying to figure out what is best for me. You know, I'm 27 years old and I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. I've got some ideas, but then again, ideas are different than actually getting hired somewhere. And so I'm really excited to share my conversation with you that I had with this week's guest, really being able to talk to someone about a job that I didn't even know existed. Awesome. I love doing podcasts because I like talking to guests, and it's more fun for you as the listener, I think, and more fun for me when I listen back to the podcast to listen with a guest. And this week I'm talking to Travis, not to be confused with my best friend, Travis, who got the podcast started, but a different Travis. Travis, welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast.
Thank you, Trent. I'm surprised that you have a friend named Travis, just because I get confused and I get called Trent or Travis very often. And so having a best friend with like a similar name, that would be kind of frustrating to me, but good on you.
Yeah, he is the reason that this whole podcast is even a thing. He's the one who kept kind of saying you should start a podcast, and I got so sick of him saying it, I kind of did it. And it's also funny because when I was an RA in college, my residents, even though I had door tags on my door that said Trent, my residents would always call me Travis. It was this group of basketball girls. I can still picture them vividly, and I could even name them all. But they would always call me Travis, and so it just kind of stuck.
I'll never understand that. Trents and Trevors get called Travis, and Travises always get called Trent and Trevor. I don't know. Our world's messed up.
Yeah, I work with a Tristan right now, and I actually came back mid-year to fill a spot at the university. And Tristan was telling me that even in meetings, he would be called Trent when I was here and not here. There's a guy who used to always call him Trent, even when I wasn't here anymore. So it was, I think it's just that TR is really, yeah. People take the TR and they run with whatever name they can think of.
That's my guess too, yeah.
So Travis, talk to me about what was your interest in coming on the podcast?
Yeah, well, I really love sharing my just personal experience, just a quick kind of overview. So I just graduated with my bachelor's degree last year with a degree in mechanical engineering. And after I graduated, I started working at an engineering company for about 7 months or so. And that was just for a period of time until I started my master's in mechanical engineering in January of 2020. And so I was in the master's program for about a month or so, not too long. And from the very beginning of the semester, I just was miserable in my classes. And I knew that I wasn't, I don't know, super passionate about engineering. And I wasn't really sure what else I would want to do. And I always liked the thought of being an entrepreneur and building my own business. But, you know, having gotten my degree in engineering, I kind of felt like that was the path that I needed to go down. But getting my master's, I felt like I was putting in a lot of time and effort into getting a degree that I wasn't even sure was going to be useful to me. So after many conversations with my wife, I decided to drop out of the master's program. And to be quite honest, I was dropping out because part of the reason why I felt like it was okay was I thought I was going to be getting a job at an engineering company. And they said that they were going to make me an offer, but they ended up not making an offer, and they actually ended up having to fire some people because of the coronavirus and just the way things have been going for them. And so that kind of left me in a position now where I could, you know, put my head down and keep looking on Indeed and LinkedIn and try and find an engineering job. But I talked with my wife and we agreed that, you know, maybe right now is a good time for me to try the entrepreneurship thing. And I got passionate about helping people find the right career path and realize that it's okay to want a life and career that is actually going to make you happy. And that's something that I had been looking for myself and had gone through, you know, read lots of different books, listened to podcasts, and gone through that process of helping myself to realize what I'm passionate about. And so I want to help other people find that same thing in their life. And that's what's led me now to doing career coaching and building my own career coaching program.
So what did it feel like taking that risk, you might call it, of saying, you know what, like, I'm going to drop out of this program and this is not the program for me. Like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. What did that risk feel like?
Oh man. Well, let me give you a little bit more detail on the whole program and everything. So I had a full scholarship to get a master's. It was going to be completely paid for. In fact, I was going to be getting paid to get my master's degree.
Oh, wow.
And that was huge for me. I'm not stupid. I recognize that this is a huge opportunity for me to get a higher education, to get this master's degree that very well could come in handy in the future. And that was a big thought in my mind all the time, was if I drop out, am I going to regret this 5 or 10 years down the line? But one thing that actually really helped me to make that decision to drop out was I went and talked to my professor who I was supposed to be working with through the whole master's program. And it was kind of scary bringing this up to him that I was thinking about dropping out. But as I talked with him, you know, I brought that up, that fear of, you know, I had this amazing opportunity to get my master's program paid for. And he said, you know what, like the amount of money you're going to save in us paying for your master's program is nothing compared to the 2 years of opportunities that you'll have if you drop out and you go and find what you really want to do. And to me, it felt great coming from a very unbiased person, you know, this professor who's in engineering who probably wants me to stay. He doesn't want me to drop out and he has to go find another student. But for him to say that the amount of money that I'm saving by doing the master's is nothing compared to what I could find if I go and actually find the right career path or find the right path within engineering or not. That was really important for me in that whole decision process.
Well, and is that part of what led you to the whole finding the right career path, was almost kind of that moment of like, okay, well, if this professor is telling me basically I need to find what's going to be best for me, then maybe I can also be that same person to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it definitely had an impact on me. I previously to that conversation, I had thought about doing career coaching. It was scary trying to think about doing that because, you know, it's hard. We, in our society, we kind of have, we feel like we have a sense of status by what our profession is. And to say that, you know, I'm a mechanical engineer, it has a certain amount of pride that comes with being able to say that. And it was kind of hard for me to, overcome that feeling like I'm taking a step down by being an entrepreneur. Cause it's, you know, it's not easy, right? It's not easy trying to start your own business and you're not making any money at first. And so, yeah, I mean, it was difficult, but I think that conversation definitely had a huge impact in making that decision to be a career coach.
So obviously this is very recent, this change, it sounds like. How long have you been? So when did you start doing the career coaching, or when did you start to make that transition? Because I know that you're still kind of in the beginning stages, it sounds like.
Yeah. So I guess I was kind of working on it for about, I don't know, 2 months or so. And so into February and into March, I was like kind of working on it, but I wasn't super clear on like the direction that I wanted to go. And was this like the right thing for me? It wasn't until, April or June that I really started to get really focused on what I needed to do. And the big part of it, is that it's just such a steep learning curve for me. You know, I never took any kind of business classes. I've never done anything like this. And so to build my own website, to create a marketing strategy and figure out social media and, you know, being able to record things and figure out how to build a program and get clients. Like there was all these just different things that I had to learn. And I love learning all of it, but it just takes so much time. And so it's probably been about 2-3 months that I've actually had clarity and focus on what direction I'm going. But yeah, it's still in relatively the early stages of things.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people recently who are going through something similar or who have gone through something similar of they went down a career path or they went down a certain way where they knew nothing about what they were doing. And they ended up being successful in what they were doing, but they had to do a lot of the legwork because they weren't knowledgeable. They didn't have that background. And so it was really just kind of starting from scratch.
Yeah.
What have you found so far? And you're very new in the process. So I think this might be an easier question for you to answer. What have you found to be the most challenging part or the biggest hurdle to overcome so far?
For myself, I think the biggest challenging part has been staying focused on the next step. It's so tempting to want to jump to the fun stuff of, you know, marketing and making videos and stuff like that. But there's a lot of just behind the scenes things that you need to do. And I kind of relate it to like when I was, I used to be into weightlifting before I hurt my shoulders. And when I would be weightlifting, I had to be disciplined and telling myself that I can't go and try and max out all my deadlifts every single time I go to the gym. But that's kind of the fun stuff, right? You get to see yourself lifting these heavy weights and it's fun to do your one rep max and see how you're getting stronger. But ultimately, it's not going to be the best thing. You kind of just need to do the next step and getting your body stronger. And I feel like I'm having kind of that same problem and challenge with creating an online business. Is there's not somebody standing over my shoulder all the time telling me that like this is the very next step you need to do. And it can be kind of frustrating because sometimes I think this is the next step that I need to do, but there's so many there's so many online influences and online courses that are telling you like, oh, you need to do this one thing and it's going to like get you 100,000 subscribers. Or if you do this one thing, you'll make $10,000 a month. And it's really easy to have the shiny object syndrome and just be moving from one thing to another. But that's one thing, like I said, in the last couple of months, I've been getting a lot more clear. And one thing that's really helped me is building network and connection with other people that are trying to do similar things. And so that's been a huge help for me. And that's one thing that I actually tell a lot of people who are trying to find the right career path, that when you're interested in something, you have to put yourself in a community of people that are going to educate you, help uplift you, and help you start moving in that right direction. And that's what I've been doing for myself, is putting myself in that right community and building those relationships. And just collaborating with other people, and it's awesome. We all lift each other up.
Well, and that was going to be part of my next question to you of, so if someone, let's just hypothetically say me, if I were to go to a career coach, what exactly am I looking for? Am I looking to one, find a job, or is it very much like I'm looking to change careers, or I'm looking at like what it is that I'm going to do? Are you looking at trying to help people find the best fit that's for them and something that they're going to be most passionate about then?
Yeah. That's a great question. From what I've seen, career coaches, every career coach kind of has their own specialty, their own niche. What I've seen is that other career coaches, a lot of times their specialty is like helping you with the interview process or helping you find jobs or network or, how to write a great resume or CV. And that's all great stuff. My frustrating thing when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do for a career is I was like, okay, I know I need to network. I know I need to use LinkedIn. I know I need a great resume. But what if I'm not at that step yet? What if I'm not ready to walk into the interview and I'm a step behind that? I don't even know what kind of interview I want. I don't know what I want to put on my resume. I don't know who I want to connect to. And that was always my big frustration, is I couldn't find out like what am I passionate and interested in enough to put all my time and energy into. And that's been my focus, is let's take a step back. And before you put all this time and energy into going back to school or whatever it might be, that you really get focused and clear on like, what's your ideal career look like? What values are important to you at your core, so that in your career, you can fulfill those values and feel like you have a sense of fulfillment and purpose in the work that you do. And so my main focus is people who are like in a career and they want to make a change, but they don't know what to change to.
I'm literally sitting here laughing because, not at you, but because what you're saying is exactly what I'm going through currently. Yeah. I left my job at a university last June, and I was in the Chicagoland area, the west suburbs, for about 6 months. Didn't really have any luck finding a job, and so I actually got a call to come back to the university I was at to fill in an open position that they needed help for the semester. And I'm actually getting ready this weekend to move back to the Chicagoland area. And I was looking at going to back to school for teaching in the fall. And now I don't even know if I was in the program and I'm enrolled in class and everything. But now I'm saying to myself, I have 2 months to decide if this is actually what I want to do, or am I just doing this because I think it's going to help me find a job? Or am I going to go back to school and then be in the exact same situation again? And so I can resonate and relate to what you're saying so much right now. Maybe I need to be your first client. Maybe you need to help me figure out what I want to do.
Yeah, you'd be my second client. I got a client I'm working with right now. Yeah.
Oh, well, second is fine too. I'll take sorry. What I can get. I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. No, I think it's I was going to say, I think it's a really big problem. And, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with this very issue that you're finding yourself in, that I found myself in. And I think a lot of people just, they don't really know where to look. And a lot of times I think people, they bury those feelings deep down inside them because it's almost embarrassing to feel lost and to feel like, man, I'm 26 years old and I still don't know what I want to do with my life. And I have this degree that I don't even want to use. And so I think a lot of people bury that. And I want people to understand that it's not something to be embarrassed about. Being lost is the first step to finding the right career path, really.
See, and I think there's a difference between a job and a career, because if I were to put every single job I've ever had on my resume, it'd be over a mile long. Because I feel like I'm a job snob. And I say that because I am very particular about what I'm doing. So if I don't enjoy the work that I'm doing, I'm not going to stay in that job and stay in that environment for the paycheck. I will go out and I will find something else that's going to help me get by so I can at least be happy in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Where I believe a career, like that's really just what you should be passionate about. Would you kind of draw the same similarity, or would you say there's a little bit more of a difference there?
Yeah, between a career and a job.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that a career, I mean, honestly, all a career is the makeup of lots of different jobs. And I think it can be easy to get caught up in the thought that, oh, this job isn't, my dream job, or it's not moving towards the goal that I want to have. And it very well might not be. I think that then if you have those kinds of thoughts, though, it's easy to start thinking in your mind that, like, you start getting bitter, you start getting angry or frustrated towards the life that you have and the career that you have. And instead, look at what are you learning about yourself because of the job that you're in. It's so much easier to identify what you don't like than what you do like. And those incremental jobs, those are all building blocks to making up the whole picture of your career. And the hope is that with each new job, with each new building block, you are slowly and surely building the career that is going to, when you look back on it, you'll be proud of it and say, you know, I'm glad I took those steps, and that it, you know, at the beginning it sucked and those blocks were crappy, but each one led to a new opportunity and a new door that has led me to where I am today. And in a whole, my career has been what I want it to be. That's the hope, I suppose.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm living through the pain of going through jobs now. I went through, in that 6 months that I was in Illinois, I went through four jobs, and it wasn't until the fourth job I was like, okay, I like this job, I can do this. Well, now I'm feeling that pain having to apply for unemployment and stuff and type in all the information. So, of course, sometimes you shoot yourself in the foot by doing that too.
Yeah.
What is it that you've learned about yourself along the way?
Ooh, that's a good question. One thing that I learned about really who I am, something that I reflected on for myself is who was I when I was younger? I had read something somewhere. I can't remember, but
very specific. I read it. Yeah. Something somewhere.
Yeah. You know, I gotta, yeah. So anyways, I read this quote and it said something along the lines of like who you were and what you were interested in and what you had fun doing when you were a kid. Like think about that, because a kid doesn't worry about whether it's financially stable. A child doesn't worry about prestige or the title that you have. All you care about is that you enjoy that thing. And I thought that was so interesting. That when you think back as a kid, they're just so pure in what they want, you know? They do what they want, and they don't do what they don't want to do. And I feel like I needed to go back to that a little bit. And so I thought about it, and, you know, I wasn't really the type where I, like, worked on cars a lot and that was like my thing, or I wasn't, you know, into, I don't know, doing chemistry experiments and stuff. And, but as I thought about it, I remembered back to one thing that my mom actually told me one time. And my mom said that she remembers, I'm the youngest of six children, by the way. This will get a little bit.
Holy cow.
And so as the youngest, I spent the most time alone with my mom, in the car, going to, you know, grocery store and different stuff like that. And so when my mom would pick me up after school, I would remember that she would like to listen to this talk show where people would call in and, they would tell the host of this radio show their problem. And, the person would give some feedback, you know, kind of a therapy session over the radio. And I enjoyed listening to that actually, like, and I'm talking like when I'm in elementary school. and my mom said that she thought it was so interesting that her and I, even as this young boy, would be able to have these conversations about like real life things that are happening to my mom or things that we hear on the radio. And she always thought that was so interesting, how I could have these adult conversations at even such a young age. And I've never thought about it like that, but it really helped me realize that that's a huge part of who I am. I love connection and building relationships with people. I really like understanding, you know, why is it that we do the things that we do, and why, like, how can we get ourselves out of these mindsets that are holding us back from living the life that we really want to live? And so that's a huge thing that I learned about myself is just this, I feel like I have this innate ability to connect with people on a deeper level and understand them. And I felt like going through engineering was kind of holding me back from doing that, because engineers aren't the most sociable or, you know, want to connect with people too much.
Do you know, when you were younger, is there something you can remember wanting to be when you grew up?
I remember I used to say that I wanted to be a veterinarian. I loved animals, and I had quite a few pets growing up. I had a pet rat at one time. I had a hamster. I had a bunny. We had a bearded dragon lizard.
Holy cow.
A dog and a cat. And yeah.
You had a zoo.
Yeah, we had a zoo. And the rat and the hamster. No, I had a rat, a hamster, and an aquatic turtle all living in my room at one point. And nobody wanted to come into my room because it smelled so bad.
A good deterrent, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that is something that I you know, used to always say that I wanted to be.
Very much different path you took than veterinarian.
It is, yeah. I don't really know at what point I moved away from that. I think maybe at some point I, for some reason, felt like that was, I don't know, something that a woman does for some reason. I don't know why I would think that, but.
So a couple of Trent Speaks questions for you. What is the most impactful event or moment in your life that's either shaped you or gotten you to where you are today?
Oh, wow. Most impactful. That's a big question.
Yeah, I bring the hard hitters at the end here.
Well, a thought that comes to my mind, I mean, it's always, you know, of course, hard to put your finger on one thing, but
you'll think of six of them later.
Yeah, I know, right? But one thing that really made me, going back to dropping out of the master's program, one thing that really caused me to make that decision was, I remember for one of my classes called Compliant Mechanisms, we had to do this assignment, and it was called the Lego assignment. And basically we had to, out of Lego pieces, we had to make these compliant mechanisms. And it was supposed to just be like this little fun assignment for us to do. It was at the very beginning of the semester and just kind of helping us to understand what a compliant mechanism is. And when I was working on campus and was working on this assignment, and I was in the study room and there was this other group of guys in my class that were working on a table next to me. And I was kind of sitting there like working on this, but just kind of spaced out, not wanting to do it and wanting to be at home with my wife and working on my podcast. But at the table next to me, there were guys working on this Lego assignment and they were like laughing and joking and they were like having the time of their life. And I remember looking at them and thinking, like, why am I not allowed to have a career where I can be excited and have fun like those guys are having? And it was in that moment that I really, it just like really hit me hard that like, really, why am I not allowed to? Just because I want to go down a different career path that's maybe a little bit unorthodox and maybe doesn't have the title or the prestige or the, maybe the, you know, stability, but it's a path that I want to take right now in my life. And why am I not allowed to do that? And that was really impactful for me to realize that, you know, I don't need to put myself in this box. I don't need to force myself and chain myself down to what I think or what other people think I should do as a career. And so, yeah, I mean, from that moment, that was really a big turning point for me in making that final decision to drop out.
Whether it's something that you've talked about during our conversation today, or maybe it's something that hasn't been talked about, what is it that you want the listeners of today's podcast to take away from you and your story?
I think one of the biggest things, a big thing that I also had to overcome was feeling guilty. I felt guilty that, you know, I felt like I had a sense of responsibility, and I do have a sense of responsibility to provide for my wife and provide for a family in the future. And I felt like I was letting myself down and my family down by dropping out of this program and going to pursue a different path. You know, of course, there's certain risks that come with completely overhauling your career, and maybe you choose to go back to school even though you're in your late 20s or 30s, or maybe you choose to get a job in a different industry but it doesn't pay as well. And all those things are risks, of course, but I think ultimately you shouldn't feel guilty because your career is such a big part of your life. And I'm a really firm believer that when you're able to elevate one part of your life, all other areas of your life are going to elevate with it. And for me, I've seen that in my own life, that since I've been doing this entrepreneurship thing and building my coaching business, it's helped me to want to be better in all areas of my life. I'm more motivated to exercise, to eat healthy. I'm motivated to be a better husband to my wife. And I really do attribute that, because I attribute it to being an entrepreneur, because being an entrepreneur makes me want to be my best self. As an engineer, it was hard for me to feel that. And so if you are having thoughts like that and feeling guilty, you don't need to. You're really doing yourself a disservice by continuing to be miserable at your job. You know, I think most people are going to take those negative emotions home with them. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants this negative person around at home. And so change your life for the better, and it'll make everyone else happy.
Yeah. And I think that I feel like that's like a lot of people where, I mean, you hear this very often, and so it's going to sound cliche once I say it, but someone could have 99 positive comments and one negative comment, and that one out of 100 comments, it's going to be that one negative comment that bothers people. And I think sometimes that's what people get stuck on. So really trying to find the positive in the moment and trying to find the good things as much as they can to at least sustain a positive attitude for as long as possible.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to putting yourself in a community of people that are going to support you along your path. There was a time a month and a half ago or so, like I was really struggling with motivation to continue working on things. And like I said, there, when building a business, an online business, there's a lot of just upfront work where you're working on building your website or building your landing page or whatever it might be. And so you're doing all this online work without seeing any kind of results. And I was really struggling with feeling like I'm doing something with my life. And so I started reaching out, or I reached out to a friend of mine who I interviewed on my podcast, and I asked her like, hey, can we just chat? And she had also, she's building her own career coaching business as well. And she left her corporate job not too long ago. And so she's older than me and has more life experience. And so being able to talk with her, and we meet once a week now to just talk and not share ideas and keep each other accountable. And that's been huge for me. And I think that that's crucial, because you're exactly right. It's so easy to have 10 people telling you you're doing the right thing, but then you have that one person tell you no, and it's hard to get past that. But I think continually having that support is going to be huge in that journey to make the career change.
Have you posted any podcast episodes yet?
Yeah, I just, I had my 28th episode come out today.
Oh, perfect. What is the name of your podcast? Where can people find it? And if someone were to tune in, what could they expect to hear?
Yeah, the name of the podcast is The Everyday Worker. And so you can find it on, you know, pretty much any major podcasting platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or you can go to everydayworker.com and find it there. And so I post all my episodes on my website as well. I have some blog posts on there that help people with just these things that we're talking about today of overcoming different mindsets and things that you can do to continue on your journey of switching your career. As far as what you can expect to hear, so my main focus in my podcast episodes is to interview people from all different kinds of industries so that listeners can get a good look at what the reality of that profession is like. For me, that was always my question of what is it actually like on a day-to-day basis being a mechanical engineer? Because a lot of people give you the idea that being an engineer means you're like, you know, tinkering with things and you're putting things together and like you're working in a machine shop and you get to design cool things. And some companies it might be like that. But the reality is a lot of times you're just working on a computer, you're filing reports, you're, you know, writing things up and making PowerPoints, and it's not as flashy and glamorous as some people might think. And again, it depends on the job. But that's my goal for the podcast, is that you can listen in. And so today I had my guest for today's episode was a reproductive endocrinologist. And so she specializes in infertility and recurrent pregnancy loss. And so, you know, we don't talk too much about the ins and outs of infertility itself, but we talk about her career and her journey, her academic path that she took to become a physician. And it's super interesting to hear about their challenges, the emotional challenges that she faces every day and how she deals with it. And that's kind of what you can expect to learn is just about all different kinds of careers and industries.
Yeah, I'm literally on your website right now scrolling through, and I see you have an FBI agent on there, a music teacher, a nurse. You've really hit quite the gamut of people so far.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I have not yet interviewed an engineer yet.
Oh, that is ironic. That's what I studied. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go figure.
I need to get one.
Have you had, so I know how hard of a question this can be to answer, so I get it. But have you had like a favorite person that you've talked to, or maybe a career that was most interesting to you that you didn't think about before where you're like, oh, wow, like I thought I knew this, but I really didn't?
Mm. Yeah, that is a good question. Well, the first one that comes to my mind as far as just a favorite interview, I mean, all my interviews have been great. But one that I particularly loved was with Isaac Smith. I can't remember exactly the episode number. I think it was episode 14 or something. And anyways, he worked as an architectural designer. And when he was in college, his story was just so interesting to me. So when he was in college, he loved architectural design, was super passionate about it. But when he started working in the industry after he graduated, he didn't feel connected to architectural design anymore. The things that he loved doing as a student, he didn't really get to do very much as an actual employee. And so he started working at this company that he loved. But he thought that like the work environment wasn't great. And so he thought that he needed to just change to a different company. And so I think he went through one or two career changes or like different companies after that. And he finally landed at this company that was like his dream job. And he thought like, okay, I've been unhappy with the other companies as an architect, but here, this is my dream job. It's everything that I could want. Like I should be happy now. But he was still really unhappy, like to the point that he said he would like go into the bathroom, like just sobbing, like crying, and just felt like he didn't feel any kind of sense of accomplishment in what he was doing. And so he made the decision. He has a wife and a daughter at the time, and he felt like he needed to make a change. And so they were living over on the east side of the United States, and they sold everything that they had, and they moved to Oregon to live with his grandparents first, I think, and then with his parents. Can't remember either one of those. Anyways, they move in with his parents or grandparents, and so here he is with his wife and child, and they're living with someone else now. And, you know, he's given up this successful career, and he started doing his own e-commerce online business. And he's been doing that for quite a few years now and has found success in it. And to me, I'm not giving the story justice. You'll have to go and listen to it. Yeah. but it was such an interesting story to me of someone who thought they were passionate about one thing and found out that working in the industry isn't necessarily what they thought it was. And again, that kind of goes back to that was the purpose of my podcast is for people to know what's the reality of working in the industry that they think they're interested in. So yeah, that was one of my favorites.
And you were right, because I was still on the website when I asked you that question. It is episode 14.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised I got that.
Nailed it. Well, Travis, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and everything and sharing your journey. And I'm actually really excited to listen to your podcast. Cause as I was scrolling through, I was like, wow, these actually sound like they're going to be really good. And I already opened one into a new tab so I can listen to the teacher one to see if that's actually what I want to do. Nice. So yeah, I'm very excited to listen to it, and I'll definitely make sure to link it in the description of this podcast so that people can easily find it as well.
Cool. Yeah, Trent, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, of course. Travis, my favorite thing is when I don't tell people what's coming next. Oh, and that's where I get to turn it over to you to do the sign-off of the podcast. It's literally whatever you want it to be. There is no set script or set thing that you need to say. It's all on you.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Okay. yeah, that is not fun doing that. Well, I guess thank you for listening to this, and hope that it's been eye-opening to you of the possibilities of taking control of your life and creating the type of life and career that you want. And I know that it's it is possible, and it can be scary in the moment. And, you know, it's a lot of work, but I think that as you choose to make the sacrifice to put in the work, that you'll have the results that you want and have the life that you want. And I appreciate Trent for having me on, and go Trent Speaks. Yeah.